Your financial choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org under Public Affairs. Podcasts of prior shows are available there. Today is April 29th, 2020. We are recording the show. If you have questions, you are welcome to send them in to the website, yourfinancialchoices.com, and we will do the best we can to answer them either directly via email or on the next broadcast show. So again, email is available at yourfinancialchoices.com. Our topic this evening is reevaluating your financial plan. So welcome back to another week of Your Financial Choices while we navigate these uncertain times. A big thank you again to all the people out there whose jobs are helping our communities with food distribution, health care, financial support, human services, home maintenance, government action, and all those businesses who continue to support their employees with working from home. Thank you very much. So tonight, talking about reevaluating your financial plan, do we need to rethink our financial plan in light of these recent events? Recall that financial planning considers the various aspects of our financial life and how they integrate with each other. So from prior shows, you will hear me talk about frequently about these aspects of your financial life, which include cash flow, investments, taxes, retirement planning, risk management, and estate planning. There's no better time than now to review your financial planning. Just as the coronavirus has exposed weak spots in our economy, so does it expose weaknesses in our own financial health. So I will touch on some of these areas of financial planning this evening to raise awareness of managing your vulnerabilities. I'm going to start with some listeners' questions that fit very nicely into our topic this evening. So we received an email through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com, from Tammy. And her question was, I've spoken with several people who mailed in their federal tax returns. And when they checked online, there's apparently no record of their return being received. These returns were sent in mid to late March. Is there a known delay in handling the returns because of COVID-19 staffing? Is there anything else they can do to follow up? Others who filed online received refunds within a week, which was very quick. So, Tammy, thank you for your question. I think what she's getting to here is that when people start talking with each other about their stimulus checks and their refunds and their tax returns, what they have learned collectively is that people who paper filed had not received refunds, where some of their friends who had filed electronically had received their refunds. So her question, I believe, is coming from that. Like, why have these people who mailed in their paper tax returns, the IRS has no record of it? And how they know that is they go online, you can check for your refund. Where's my refund on IRS.gov? And it says that their return maybe hasn't been received yet. So what is this about? Well, yes, there is an issue. Paper file returns and check refunds are going to take longer than normal to process in the best of times. And with the ramifications of COVID-19, that is going to be a little bit longer, as Tammy suspected in her question. Basically, the IRS does encourage people to electronically file for faster processing, and they like when you do direct deposit for faster refunds. I think the idea is when you electronically file, quite often software programs will check for errors that you might have made. So that's, you know, the first step in filing a properly filed return is to make sure there's no math errors. And quite often software will give you an alert to do that. If you paper file a return, sometimes you're not catching those kinds of things. So there's a lot of different reasons to electronically file. And with doing electronic deposit of your refunds, I think the idea there is, you know, the IRS and other organizations think this could be a smarter way to do it to avoid people, you know, stealing refund checks out of your mailbox and that type of thing. So the IRS does encourage electronic filing. Preparers have to do electronic filing or give them a reason why we are not. So the processing is faster with electronically filing returns, and the direct deposit of refunds is also much faster. Quite often what we do for clients is we might do the refunds as direct deposit, but if someone owes money, we have them write a check. Some people aren't as comfortable with the IRS taking money out of their checking account, but they're okay with them putting money into it. So paper filed returns can take 6 to 8 weeks to process anyway. And if you requested a paper check for the refund, that could be another several weeks. But here's the little hiccup. With the COVID-19 and how it's impacted the workforce, some IRS centers were not even accepting mail. Some clients had mailed return to them. And some of the paper received by the IRS, if they're not returning it, they're storing it. Now, I read on one website that they're actually storing it in, like, trucks. So not sure as to whether that is accurate or not, but they are storing it and not processing some of these returns. Now, in the one service center I heard where they were returning mail, subsequently we understand that they're accepting it again, but again, more on a storage basis. So that could be why your friends have not been able to obtain information on the status of their refund on their paper filed return because it may not have been processed at all. Then, Tammy, you had asked, is there any correcting this or any recourse they have? No, not really. So you can't now go file an electronic return at this point. You've already paper filed or your friends have already paper filed, so you cannot now file electronically. And I also do not believe that they're taking telephone inquiries regarding this either. So it's basically kind of sit tight on 2019 tax returns that were paper filed. Now, I do want to add in regards to that, with the 2019 filing, some people were thinking that their stimulus check would be tied to their 2019 filing. Well, if someone was waiting for the stimulus check and their 2019 tax return's not been filed, or in your friend's case, not been processed, they may still get their check, the stimulus check, if their income was low enough on their 2018 tax return. So if direct deposit information was not provided on their 2018 tax return and their 2019 return has not been processed, then a check will be mailed. And that will also take a little longer than for people who would have had direct deposit information on their 2018 return. So there are many advantages to filing electronically, and it is the preferred method by the IRS. In addition, if you collect Social Security, I just heard from another CPA that their stimulus check is being directly deposited, and they didn't have to do anything. This was without having bank information on their tax return. It's the bank information from the Social Security direct deposit information that the IRS used or the Fed used to deposit their stimulus check. Okay, so lots of good information there. We have a couple more questions to go through, and then we will talk a little bit about reevaluating your financial plan when we come back from our next break. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Hi, I'm Ken Foster, one of the many real voices here at WDIY. We are all doing our best to deal with the health crisis that has interrupted our lives and challenged our healthcare professionals. We all want to return as soon as possible to bring you the many choices you have come to expect. The many partnerships we have with businesses, art groups, and other not-for-profits have been affected as well. Partners like ArtsQuest SteelStacks, Godfrey Daniels, Miller Symphony Hall, and the State Theater in Easton. All of us at WDIY look forward to the day we can bring back guests to talk about seasonal offerings and update our calendars with news about shows, concerts, and events around the Lehigh Valley. If you're able, please consider supporting WDIY during this fun drive period and help us stay strong so we can be here for you and our many partners. Visit WDIY.org and see the suggested support levels right there on our website. Or call 610-758-8810. And thank you, all of you, for supporting WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and you are listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. This evening, we are talking about reevaluating your financial plan, and that is considering all the areas of your financial life and what you might want to revisit at this point. With the economic situation, with the coronavirus, there are a number of areas in our financial life where we may have realized needed attention. So tonight we want to talk about that. But in addition, I had received several questions through the website and email that I think go very well with what we're discussing this evening. So we just asked Tammy's question about those folks who had paper filed returns who feel they're not getting processed, and that could be happening. That is one of the downfalls of paper filing. So we're going to go to our second question, which was via email, and it said, we have the stimulus money in hand, it went right into our savings, and my wife is working overtime because the company she works for provides product for essential and critical services and products. No job loss there, thank goodness. It means an influx of cash. What is the best thing to do with it? We have an IRA, savings account, and vacation account. The savings account can pay for 4 months of living expenses if we need it. There are two credit card accounts in the $2,000 range needing to be paid, but no other debt. I estimate an extra $4,000 to use over the next month. So my answer is, you mentioned that the savings account can pay for 4 months of living expenses. I usually like to see about 6 months worth of savings to cover 6 months worth of expenses. With this pandemic, we will probably start to see a push for even more reserves, perhaps even a year's worth. I expect that that could be case by case, depending on a person's cash flow. For example, this person who asked the question had mentioned that their spouse works in essential services. So you might feel like you're not as exposed as someone who might be working retail. So you want to kind of consider these things. At the same time, so I mentioned 4 months worth of living expenses, maybe you want six. Maybe in light of this pandemic and job losses, maybe we want to think about having a year reserve. But at the same time, if you have credit card debt that has a high interest rate and you're confident in the cash flow from these jobs that feel very secure, I would look to pay off the credit card. I think that would be my first place I would put it. Now, if you told me it was a 0% credit card, I might hold off on that, maybe leave some of this in cash reserve. Another thing to consider if you really feel like you have your confidence in the cash flow that you're currently receiving, if you haven't already funded a Roth IRA could be a place to put some of this money. If you're concerned about the markets and taking any risk, you could still put the money in the Roth IRA, maybe leave it in cash if you were worried about investing or having it as part of your emergency reserve. But at such time you built up even more cash reserve, at least you have that Roth funded and you took advantage of the annual Roth contributions that you could make. All right, so a bit of a range of answers that you could have there, but I generally do like to see probably at least 6 months of reserves. I know when I first started in the industry, it seemed like you'd hear advisors talk about having a three-month reserve and maybe even using a credit card as the backup to that, and probably back when interest rates were much lower on credit cards. But over the years, you know, and I've been doing this for a long time now, I have felt more comfortable with clients who would have like a six-month reserve. And typically when we talk about a reserve, it's beyond maybe even like the cash, like what kind of money do you need to meet your non-discretionary spending is what I should say. So look at your non-discretionary spending. If you both lost your jobs, how much would you need for 6 months to make sure you could continue to pay the mortgage and the real estate taxes and things like that? So I hope that helps. Another question had come through the website, Your Financial Choices, and this was Sam in Arcata, California. And he first said, my comment first, after finding out about the tax return extension, I was able to jump on the opportunity to deposit money into my HSA account. I just recently opened last week for the 2019 year, as of now, and for the 2020 year, effectively double loading the account well within tax guidelines. Very happy about that. And then he had now my question. With the turmoil of our current economy, is investing into any stocks or mutual funds a good idea at this time, or should a large percentage be put into bonds or treasury notes? Thanks for time answering my questions, and stay safe and healthy. Samuel from Arcata, California. So my answer first, great that Sam mentioned this extension of time to fund health savings accounts. We hear about the additional time to fund IRAs or Roth IRAs, but we don't always think about the health savings accounts. So basically, the IRS extended our time to file, and we don't have to file extensions. We don't have to do any special paperwork. We all have until July 15th. To file our federal tax returns, our state and local tax returns, and we have until July 15th to also pay our taxes, to pay our taxes due, if there's any due, and to pay our estimated tax payments for the first and second quarter. Generally, those are due April 15th and June 15th. So our estimated tax payments can be combined for those two quarters and paid by July 15th. So that was great, but what the IRS also did was they extended our time to fund IRAs and Roth IRAs. This has never happened before that I'm aware of. Usually the IRAs have to be funded by April 15th to count for the prior year, and that's wonderful. They've extended that to July 15th as well. So back to the health savings account, that's also normally an April 15th date, and they have extended that to July 15th as well. So a health savings account, as people who have them know, is an ability to save money for medical expenses on a tax-deferred basis, tax-free basis if you use that money for qualified medical expenses in the future. But you have to have had a high-deductible health plan in order to have a health savings account. Okay, so you have to have a high deductible health plan, a qualified high deductible health plan, in order to have a health savings account to have contributions go in and get a tax benefit from doing so. And generally, this is through our employer, but even people who do not have it through an employer but maybe have private insurance, you might buy health insurance for yourself on the marketplace, not through an employer. And you want to make sure that's a qualified high deductible health plan in order to set up a health savings account. So you have until not April 15th this year, but July 15th to fund it for 2019. I'll talk a little bit more about that after our next break and finish answering Sam's question when we come back. We will be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is Joe Chuck. I've been in radio for over 50 years, with about half that time right here at WDIY as your regular Thursday morning edition local host. Like some of the other real voices here at WDIY, I've been at home keeping myself and others safe. Other station volunteers and staff members, however, have stayed here, doing their best to deal with the health crisis that has interrupted our lives and challenged our healthcare professionals. We all want to return as soon as possible to bring you the many choices you've come to expect. The many partnerships we have with businesses, arts groups, and other not-for-profits have been affected as well. Among those is Kutztown University, where I had the privilege of teaching for over 25 years. Like all the other educational institutions in our area, KU has had to transition to online instruction for their students. All of us at WDIY look forward to the day we can bring back guests to talk about seasonal offerings and update our calendars with news about shows, concerts, and events around the Lehigh Valley. If you're able, please consider supporting WDIY during this fund drive period. Help us stay strong so we can be here for you and for our many partners. This is a critical time to support Lehigh Valley Public Radio, which brings you news, diverse music, and local public affairs. Call 610-758-8810 or make a secure online donation at WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You are listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org, and podcasts of prior shows are available there under Public Affairs. We are talking about reevaluating your financial plan. I'm also taking listeners' questions, which you can submit through the website yourfinancialchoices.com, and I will do my best to answer them directly via email or on a subsequent show. So we've already had a couple questions, and I was talking prior to our break about something our listener, Sam from Arcata, California, had mentioned about health savings accounts and that the IRS has extended the time to contribute to those for 2019 as well. Why is this such a big deal? Because, folks, if you contribute to a health savings account through your employer, and maybe at open enrollment you said do $100 a month, that would be $1,200. And maybe your employer also puts in $1,200. So you have funded a health savings account through your employer and through your own payroll deduction, $2,400. If you're single, the maximum amount that you can put into the health savings account is $3,500. So you would have missed maximizing your health savings account by $1,100. Now, in Sam's case, he maybe just got his stimulus check. Maybe he doesn't need it. If he got $1,200 and we said he's $1,100 short, if he doesn't need that money, he could throw that $1,100 into his health savings account up through July 15th, have it count for 2019. Now, normally when we do payroll deduction for our health savings account, it's saving federal taxes, Medicare taxes, Social Security taxes, state taxes, and most in some states, not all states, local taxes in Pennsylvania. So it's a real great tax-saving strategy to do it through payroll deduction. But if we either don't completely maximize through payroll deduction or we have an individual plan, not through an employer, we just make those contributions on our own, and we can get an extra deduction on our tax return. So in Sam's case, in my story, if he had between employer and employee put in $2,400 and he was single and could do another $1,100, he can file his tax return and take an $1,100 deduction on his federal return. Now, Sam's from California, and California doesn't allow these deductions for health savings account, but it's still a nice tax benefit to get when you're saving for future health expenses that you'll have. And you can invest that money in the health savings account and let it grow, and at some future time pull it out for medical expenses and pay no income tax on that earnings or growth. Now, what a lot of people do is they'll put money in the health savings account and maybe leave it in cash because as soon as they put it in, they're taking it out. But there are quite a few people who put money into the health savings account and don't use it because maybe they're very healthy and they don't have high medical expenses. So they can invest it and let it grow. If you're over 55, you can do another $1,000. So for a single person plan, it's $3,500 plus $1,000 if you're over 55. And for a family plan, it's $7,000 plus $1,000 if you're over 55. So a family plan, if someone's over 55, if the participant's over 55, you can fund up to $8,000. So the trick is you look on your W-2 for code W, and that code W is going to tell you how much was put into the health savings account through your payroll, which has already factored in all the tax savings on your W-2. If that isn't at those max and you have money available, you have until July 15th to still fund that additional amount. Nice tax savings there. So, Sam, I'm so glad that you mentioned that. So that was wonderful. Now, Sam's real question is, he said, with the turmoil of our current economy, is investing into any stocks or mutual funds a good idea at this time, or should a large percentage be put into bonds or treasury notes? Well, typical answer, it depends. The answer depends on each person's own unique circumstances. Your cash reserves is something I would look at, your cash flow, your time horizon, your risk tolerance. So Sam, you really kind of have to look at all of these pieces. I have had some of the most aggressive investors want to go to cash, which completely surprises me. When they take a risk tolerance and they look at their situation and they are aggressive and they want to invest aggressively, and then with what's happened recently in the markets, they want to go to cash. Well, that is not a typical reaction I would see in an aggressive investor. And what's really funny is some of our most conservative investors are asking about buying stocks. So, you know, should we get into something now? So it's really interesting when you really understand the emotions of the market and what makes investors react. Sometimes you'll find that people, when the market is tanking, that's when they want to get out. And when the market's at its top and they really feel confident again, that's when they want to get in. And that really is the opposite strategy people should be doing. So just be mindful of your own situation. So the market has been reacting to the fallout from the pandemic. And a lot of the numbers people out there, money managers, they are saying we may have tested the lows, but that doesn't mean that we may be out of the woods or that we might continue to experience some choppiness. So while we have tested the lows, we might still see some drops. But what we do know is it's very difficult to time the market. So what's more important is that you stick to a discipline for the long term, and that usually bears fruit. If you try to time the market and you get out and then you miss the rebound, it will take you longer to recover, is what we have seen. The other thing I like to point out is I think where the markets are right now, it wasn't that long ago that these were the market highs. I think it was a year ago we were at these numbers, and we were riding the highs. So just as the market seemed to be peaking right before the pandemic news hit, was that peak actually reality either? So you kind of have to be careful, Sam, what you're doing. Consider your cash reserves. Understand your own financial situation and your own risk tolerance. A blanket answer really does not apply to anyone these days. So if you are comfortable with taking on risk, you have plenty of cash reserves, your emergency reserve, you just want to look to see what would apply to you. So your question is, investing into stocks or mutual funds a good idea, or should a large percentage be put into bonds or treasury notes? It all depends on your situation. And consider, too, some of this recovery may not be years down the line. It might be, could be months. It could be a year and a half. It might be 3 years. So kind of look ahead to that as well when you're trying to make these decisions. Sometimes what I like to say is if you maybe don't go all in with one strategy or another, kind of give yourself a little hedge somehow. If you have money to invest, maybe don't invest all of it in equities, maybe do some little combination. But really, it's your own unique situation. You'll have to consult with your own financial advisors on that as how it applies to you. So great questions as usual, Sam. We appreciate you sending those in. And folks, if you have questions, you can email them to yourfinancialchoices.com. Go to the website yourfinancialchoices.com, and you could submit your questions, and we'll do our best to answer them. We are coming up at the halfway point of our show, and we want to remind folks that our Spring Pledge Drive continues. Anything you can do to continue to support WDIY, we sincerely appreciate it. Airing programs and news information to our listeners does not stop. With that, we need continued financial support. There are a number of ways to give that, but the easiest is going directly to wdiy.org and click Donate Now or call 610-758-8810. Thanks. We will be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening at WDIY 88.1. We are in the last half of our show. We are talking about reevaluating your financial plan. We started with a few questions from our listeners. We really appreciate those. That is my favorite part of the show. And just because we're not airing live shows in the recent weeks, we are still taking questions at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can go there and submit your question, and usually I will email you back. And also, when we have a chance, we will talk about your question on air as well, without giving any of your personal information, of course. But what those questions do is they help our other listeners, because if you've had a question, I'm sure others have as well. But what's fun, too, is that there are sometimes a lot of nuances to a question that can impact the answer to it. And it is exposed when we get questions from listeners. We kind of can go off in different directions, which makes it more fun for me. And I love Sam's question about funding the health savings account that we have till July 15th. It brings to mind for me something that maybe we need to mention more often that might get overlooked otherwise. As I had said to Sam's question, we think about telling people all the time that they have till April 15th to fund their IRAs and Roth IRAs for the prior year, for 2019. The reason you want to wait sometimes is because you might be over the income limits or you might not have the money till then. So there are a number of reasons why it's very beneficial that the IRS gives us until April 15th to fund those accounts for the prior year. But in this year's case for 2019, with the delayed filing to July 15th, they've also let us have that additional time to fund those IRAs, Roth IRAs, but also the health savings account, which is a really big deduction. It gives us a nice deduction for federal, and in our case, as Pennsylvania residents, a deduction for Pennsylvanians. So it's always best to do it through your employer if you do have that, because you also get a deduction from the Medicare and Social Security tax. So my priority would be if you have the cash flow means to fully fund health savings account, if you have one, if you have a high deductible health plan, is to do it through payroll deduction. But if you have not maximized it through that, this is a great opportunity to do that. So when we talk about reevaluating your financial plan, what I feel has come to mind in these times is a real awareness of whether or not we have our cash reserves, whether or not we can tolerate our risk, our investments and how they're invested. It highlights whether we have cash flow. It makes us very aware of our tax filings, our risk management, which is insurance coverage. Estate planning is a big thing I'll talk about, and retirement planning and what that means when we talk about reevaluating your financial plan. So I'll be able to just kind of hit on some of these, not talk about everything extensively, because I could do a whole show just on cash flow, which I'm going to do next week on cash flow decisions. But I thought I would kind of try to get people to think about reevaluating their own plan tonight. So let's highlight some of these areas. So cash flow, as I mentioned, if you were someone who was affected by the government restrictions such that you were furloughed or laid off, perhaps lost your job, maybe had reduced hours, your cash flow might not be where you thought it was. This is why, as financial advisors, we often talk about having an emergency reserve. In the event something happens, are you going to have enough money to pay your bills if you don't have your paycheck coming in? So that's what the emergency reserve is about, whether you have 3 months' worth of emergency reserve, or do we need to think about having longer emergency reserve for 6 months or even a year? So generally, I do try to talk to people about having a six-month reserve. This might, depending on your own situation, I think people are going to start rethinking this, because if you were someone who lost your job, you might realize you needed longer than 6 months. And when we are talking about an emergency reserve, you might spend, when you're working, things on entertainment and buying gas for the car for all the trips and the commuting that you're doing. When we talk about an emergency reserve, if you're not having a paycheck coming in, we really want to look to make sure that you're covering your non-discretionary expenses, your rent or your mortgage or your insurance payments, covering food, non-discretionary spending, because if you are in a situation where you've lost your job, the first thing you should be doing is reviewing your cash flow and what can you cut immediately. So it's always a good time to review, what are you spending your money on? Do you need to be spending your money on whatever it might be? Some entertainment, automatic enrollment into programs, review your credit card statements to see if you're paying for something you forgot you even signed up for. So review that kind of thing and then say to yourself, do I need to bolster up my emergency reserves? Investments. We mentioned already, kind of through the question that Sam had, about risk tolerance. And what is your risk tolerance? For people who thought they were aggressive and then to hear them wanting to go to cash, it makes me wonder, were they really comfortable with an aggressive asset allocation? So when we talk about risk tolerance, we're looking at, will you be able to sleep at night if you are participating 100% in the market swings? And you're participating 100% in market swings, for example, if you're 100% equities. If you're 60% equities, then you might only participate, we would expect, that you would only participate in the market swings by 60%. So if the market goes down 10% and you're only 60% in equities, we would expect that your portfolio might only go down 6%. So it's not that you'll reduce all of your exposure, but you might reduce some of your exposure to market swings, whether it's on the downside or the upside. So at the same time, if the market then goes up 10%, you're not going to participate in that increase up as much either. You might only participate 6% in that upswing. But at the same time, it's not going to take you as long to get back to your original returns because you didn't participate in the full drop, all right? So understand your own risk tolerance. And what goes into consideration with that is your cash flow resources and your time horizon, like, are do you need the money in 1 year or do you need the money in 20 years? Someone who needs the money in 20 years won't be as impacted by these short bursts in market changes. Hopefully that all makes sense. So risk tolerance, your investments, maybe it's time to revisit that when we're talking about reevaluating your financial plan and how all these pieces of your financial life fit together. This also would raise an awareness about rebalancing. So if you rebalance regularly, let's say annually, maybe semi-annually, then at such time the markets have been, you know, going up for years now and years. If you've never rebalanced, then you've never taken the gains off your plate. So generally what rebalancing means is if you have a 60-40 portfolio, 60% equities, 40% bonds, and the equity market has done really, really well over the past several years, then your portfolio from 10 years ago would no longer be 60-40. It might look like 70-30 or 75-25. Rebalancing will bring you back to that original allocation that you were comfortable with the 60-40. So at such time, maybe your portfolio ends up being 70-30. You sell out of some of the equities and go into the fixed income portion, the bond portion or fixed income portion of your portfolio, to bring you back to 60-40. And what you have in essence done then is you have sold high and bought low. You sell high and buy low. That's kind of what you're doing. That the equities were growing, you've taken the gains off, and you kind of put that money back into the lower performing part of your portfolio. All right, so rebalancing, very important. And if you had done that in January, you'd probably be sitting kind of pretty right now, as an example. Now, we also would want to talk about retirement planning. Now, what I suspect might be happening is people are having a lot of conversations about their retirement planning right now. Number one, if you were let go from a job, maybe you were, you know, 63, 64, and your employer had to close their business, and you think you're going to go back to work, you were thinking you were going to go back to work, maybe at this point you might say, I don't really need to. Maybe we have enough cash flow. We have enough investments. Do I really need to go back? So I could hear those conversations at dinner tables where people are saying, maybe it's not worth going back at this point. This has been stressful. I don't need to go back. Maybe I won't go back. That could be one conversation. On the other hand, we might have conversations where someone says, hey, I was counting on making this money in my final working years, these last few years I was going to continue to work. If I'm out of work for 6 months, that sets me back somewhat. I need to work longer. So there might be conversations about how much longer you think you need to work. Or maybe this has upset you so much or made you nervous about your future, or maybe your portfolio really took a hit and you don't have the money you thought you were going to have to retire. So maybe one option for you would be to continue to work a little longer than you originally thought, to maybe get through this time, bolster up your savings a little bit more, or use continued paycheck to fund your cash flow instead of using your investments to fund your cash flow. Because if you were getting ready to retire and you didn't have other financial means, you might have thought, oh, I'll just take it from my portfolio. I'll take all those gains out of my portfolio. Well, that might have disappeared temporarily, probably, but it might have disappeared, made you a little bit more nervous. So you might be thinking, hey, maybe I should keep working. So these, I expect, are some of the conversations that could be going on around the dinner table. In doing so, it's back to reevaluating your financial plan. How many of us thought we were all set on this path and maybe we need to reevaluate it? What I hope is that you had done your financial planning already before, and as we get closer to retirement, we have kind of set up like a bucket strategy where we know for the next 5 years we have our cash needs kind of taken care of from our portfolio. So if you haven't started to do that, that this would be a good time. This is kind of a little bit of a wake-up call for people to reevaluate their financial planning, et cetera. Folks, we are at the last break of the night, so if you have questions, you can send those through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com, and submit your question. I'll do my best to answer them, to get back to you, to air it on a subsequent show. Next week, as I mentioned, I am going to talk about cash flow decisions, including retirement and Social Security. So I'll be able to talk more about that particular topic next week as well. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about reevaluating your financial plan in regards to taxes, risk management, which is insurance, and estate planning. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. You can always listen online as well at wdiy.org. You can stream live with us, and you can tell folks outside of our listening area that that is available. And if you don't catch us live, you can also reach the podcast of prior programs on wdiy.org under Public Affairs. Tonight we're talking about reevaluating your financial plan. All the areas of financial planning, as I mentioned, cash flow, investments, taxes, retirement planning, risk management, and estate planning. If you make one decision in one area of that, of those aspects, it impacts another area, and that is the beauty of financial planning. It's making sure that a decision in one area is considering the other areas and the impact to it. So very, very important to make sure that you coordinate all of these pieces. When we talk about reevaluating our financial plan, one of the very important aspects of our financial life is reporting income and paying taxes. So when we talk about taxes, we think of tax preparation, we think of our tax return filing, as we mentioned at the top of the show to Tammy's question, people had paper filed returns and they weren't getting their refunds as fast. Well, if you're not getting the refund, you're not getting your stimulus payment because you decided to paper file, you decided not to do direct deposit, well, you aren't going to get your refunds as fast. You're not going to get your stimulus payment as fast. That impacts your cash flow. If that impacts your cash flow and you don't have cash flow available, you may have to tap your investments. If you tap your investments, that could have a corresponding impact on your tax return. So it's all connected. So taxes, when we talk about tax planning and reevaluating your financial plan, with the CARES Act, there were some provisions that were provided that could help people who might be in a tight situation with cash flow that could impact your tax return. So what those options were is people can borrow from their 401ks. If you borrow from your 401k, now people could always borrow before, but what they changed in the CARES Act is there used to be a limitation of 50% of your vested balance. So the vested balance is when the employer says you have to work here to take money out of the retirement account. So they have now said instead of 50% of the vested balance, you can borrow up to 100% of the vested balance. And the other piece is you don't have to pay it back until 12 months from when you took it out. The payback period is waived for 12 months. And the issue with that, though, is I get very nervous about when people borrow from retirement accounts, because if you don't have the security that you're going to keep that job for that year, if you leave a job with a loan balance, it will be deemed a distribution and income taxable to you if you can't pay it back. So that's a little risk, I feel, that I'm not sure is always worth taking. normally there is a 10% penalty if you're under age 59 and a half. Now, with the CARES Act, they are allowing you to take a distribution from a 401k and an IRA, different than borrowing from a 401k. You could actually take a distribution, and they're waiving the 10% penalty. So I expect if you are someone who borrows from your 401k, and then within the year something happens and you can't pay it back and you lose your job, I would expect you could make a case to avoid the 10% penalty if you're under age 59 and a half. But let's talk about taking a distribution from the 401k or the 403b or the IRA, because this could make more sense. If you take a distribution, the IRS says we have to pay income tax on it. That's unless it's a Roth IRA or a Roth feature, you're paying income tax on a distribution from a retirement account. If I'm under age 59 and a half, there's a 10% penalty to that normally. If you're over 59 and a half, there's not normally a 10% penalty. But sometimes retirement plans don't allow us to take a distribution from the 401k or the 403b. So in this case with the CARES Act, even though they allow people to take a distribution, it's called a hardship distribution, and your employer actually has to adopt that as part of their plan in order for you to take that distribution. So let's say you can take a distribution. They've waived the 10% penalty if you're under age 59 and a half, and you pay income tax on that. So that's a tax impact. You may not get the full amount. Let's say you decide to take a distribution of $40,000 and you pay, I'm going to make this up to make it easier, 25% tax would be $10,000. You're going to net $30,000. So you have to be careful how much you would take out. What the CARES Act allows us to do, though, is we can take that money out, use it, maybe temporarily, and if within 3 years we have recouped that money through work or savings, we can actually pay it back to our IRA or our 401k. We can put the money back in. If we do that, you might say, well, Lori, I already paid the tax on that. Why would I pay it back? You know, well, maybe you didn't really want to take it out of your retirement account. You wanted to let it grow and be there for your future. And now you have the money, you want to put it back. You'd have to put back the full $40,000 to not have any of the tax due. And you would amend your tax return for the year you paid the tax on it. Now, the IRS is letting us report that income over 3 years if we decide. Instead of reporting it all in 1 year, we could report it over 3 years. And they're also letting us pay it back over 3 years. So it's going to be a little complicated, but it is an option. And this is just me mentioning, you know, when we talk about reevaluating our financial plan, if you found that you're in a little bit of a pickle, a little bit of a bind, this could be an option for you. But what it's impacting is your cash flow, your investments, and your taxes. So make sure you're making the smartest decision for your own set of circumstances. Be very, very careful in adopting any of these options, but it really is, I think, an extra measure of security for people who might really be in a bind. But just be very, very careful. Make sure you understand. As I say at the end of every show, you have to be proactive, not reactive. Don't just listen to things like this and run off and do it and say, I heard it on the radio that you could do it. No, make sure what is going to apply to you, what's the best way to do it. Maybe you don't need as much money as you might think. So whether you take a loan or whether you take a distribution, make sure that it's going to work with your own situation. Now, risk management, that's insurance. When we talk about reevaluating your financial plan, a lot of times people might say, I don't need life insurance, or I don't need the best car insurance or the best disability insurance. Disability insurance? What if you're infected with COVID and you have long-lasting repercussions from it? Some people are still having issues after even recovering. So you want to make sure that you have disability, maybe through work or through a private policy. Life insurance, we never know what's going to happen. If you don't have life insurance, it might be the time to review it. Maybe you can't afford certain kinds of insurance. People often think of whole life as a policy that can build up cash value and might give you some benefits, but it could be very expensive for you. But term insurance might be very adequate and be fine for your situation. Sometimes you can get insurance through work. Sometimes you can get group policies through professional organizations or certain social organizations that you may belong to that could have cheaper rates. So you might want to review your insurance as part of reevaluating your financial plan when you realize that really we don't know what could happen to us day to day. I've always lived like that, but a lot of people don't. They think nothing will ever happen to them. So I'm saying anything can happen to any of us. It's always a good idea to do financial planning, but it's always a wake-up call to maybe reevaluate your financial plan as well. So estate planning, one thing that I think should be in the forefront of everyone's mind is estate planning, because this is probably one of the most disregarded areas of our financial life, the most neglected areas of our financial life. Estate planning, making sure you have a will, power of attorney, health care directives, and living will, because we never know what's going to happen. And if something like this virus hits us and we become incapacitated very quickly, we may not be able to react as quickly as we thought we would have been able to. Don't wait for something to happen. Try to be proactive and take care of business now while we have this opportunity to kind of reflect and consider all of the things that might impact us. So reevaluate your financial plan in all of these areas. When we talk about a will, many are part of your estate planning can be done simply by using beneficiary designations or joint titling. That is great if you can do that. So you do want to make sure that you revisit your beneficiary designations, primary and contingent. Think about this. If you have a husband and wife, mother and father, who have beneficiaries on them and maybe just each other as the beneficiary, then they might want to consider having their contingent beneficiaries reviewed. Maybe you have three kids and you really only talk with two of them. Maybe one's on the outskirts or you've never talked to the kid. They ran off, you know, years ago. Revisit your beneficiary designations, both primary and contingent. But very important to also review health care powers of attorney. You can go online and do something like that. I think the states have something you can use. I talked about this on a prior show. I didn't look it up for tonight. I'll try to address that on a future edition. But you can also Google Pennsylvania health care power of attorney, and there might be something that you could look up for the short term until you can get into your attorney and review estate planning and estate planning documents with your attorney. Always good to kind of have an inventory of your financial situation, of your financial life. An inventory would include understanding what all your assets are, what your life insurance is, what your liabilities are, what kind of cash flow you have, and what kind of beneficiary designations, what asset titling you have. So always a good time to review those things. Folks, thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. We also wish and hope for your continued support of WDIY with their Spring Pledge Drive. Again, you can donate through the website wdiy.org or call 610-758-8810. Next week, we are going to talk about cash flow decisions, including retirement and Social Security. Coming up next, we have folk music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.